After Zoomies at the dog park, it's time for Drive Up at Target. In goes a big bag of kibble and one squeaky chicken toy for the good boy. Drive Up that's ready when you are, only in the Target app. Just tap Target.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Knowing you could be saving money for the things you really want, like that dream house or ride, is a great feeling. That's why the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you save when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with a personal price plan. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
All I give a damn about
The Rich Eisen Show.
Four-time WNBA All-Star Brittany Hicks is here. Give it up for Brittany, everybody. I'm joking around. That's my friend's wife. I knew none of you knew WNBA players.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
With guest host, WWE superstar Seth Rollins.
My feelings on CM Punk are not hard to find. Don't like the guy. Never liked the guy. Haven't liked the guy. Probably never going to like the guy.
Today's guests, undefeated boxing champion Terrence Crawford, UFC broadcaster Daniel Cormier, and now sitting in for Rich, it's WWE superstar Seth Rollins.
We are back for day two.
Let's go.
On the Seth Rollins show. Get a load of that. That's right. That's right. I've taken over entirely, completely, absolute power. I am your host, filling in for Rich Eisen today. I am a visionary.
Mm-hmm.
I am a revolutionary.
Factual.
I am the one, the only, Seth freaking Rollins.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. Oh, and I feel good in this chair today. I feel really good today,
you look even
man.
Better than yesterday.
I know, right? I look at me. Look at this. Look at this style.
Come
what have
on.
I done? What have I become? Who am I?
Shout out to King Troy for that.
Shout out to Troy. That's right. That's right. Look, we had a bunch of looks on deck for all the Raws and pay-per-views and premium live events, whatever we call them these days. We had all these looks on deck. Obviously, you know, we went over the knee injury yesterday. We're not going to get into it today, but we still got the looks. So now I'm bringing them to the show. I'm bringing
fantastic.
Them to the show. Why
perfect.
Not?
Why
I am
not?
Joined here today by the usual crew. Chris Brockman rocking over there. Jason Feller. TJ Jefferson. Yeah, I think he might be a little closer today, actually. Wait, no.
Moved in.
Still in the nosebleed.
Debo today.
Also, my manager, Dip, is here.
Yeah,
Dip
up,
is
Dip?
Here.
Yeah, Dip.
He was here yesterday. We didn't acknowledge him at all, but he is here. Brian
so we
Dipperstein.
Throw the one up for Brian?
Yeah, throw the one up for Dip. Dip is here. He's he's like the mascot kind of, I suppose. He's over there just sitting on the couch looking cool. We had a lot of callers yesterday. It was awesome. I hope we get some more. If you want to call, talk, you got questions. We had a lot of two-parters yesterday.
A lot of two-parters.
See if we get some two-parters today. If you want to call, chat with me.
Keep it to one part.
Yeah, maybe just consolidate, yeah, right?
One question.
Could we just get one? Just a simple yes, no, even, if you want to. That way we can move through.
Well, Seth, they don't know the next time they're going to get to talk to you, so they got to work all that in.
That's fair. That's fair. Call us 844-204-RICH. You are watching us on the Roku Sports Channel. Listen to us, Infinity Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 375. You can stream for free on the Odyssey app, odyssey.com. Rich has got his social media, Rich Eisen Show. I've got mine at WWE Rollins. Let's get into it, man. What's going on in the sports world? What are we talking about sports-wise? We watched the ESPYs last night. You get on the ESPYs at all?
ESPYs last night.
What are we rating Shane Gillis? How is he as a host? What do we think?
It depends if Shane is your cup of tea or not, right? And so if you find his humor funny, I imagine that you enjoyed last night's kind of ESPYs roast.
Yeah.
It seems that's kind of what it was. It's a tough room. I don't know if you've been to the ESPYs or
I
not.
Have. Set,
so, you know, like, you know, athletes don't have the best sense of humor about themselves.
Sure.
At times. So, you know, he's picking shots here and there. It's a tough room, but I thought he did great. Sarah wrote on the roast, so
Sarah's his lady.
You know, I support it 100%. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, I'm like I'm 50-50 on Shane Gillis.
Okay.
Yeah, I think sometimes jokes they hit me real nice, and I, you know what I do like is he's got like the little he's got like this kind of like sly little smirk to him when he when he thinks he's being funny, you know, and I like that. I think that's pretty fun. I dig that. So good. Were there any
plus he offended everybody? Like
he was going to one side.
So it was equal opportunity. Yeah, of course. Really.
That's what I dig about comedy, man. I like, you know, we went through a stage where it was like real touch and go there for a minute, but I think we're back. I think we're back in comedy. I think it's I think we're just offending everybody again, you know. We're just
which
back.
Is good.
Yeah, that's what we need.
That's what we need.
Right. That's what we need. We just make fun of each other. That's the whole game, right?
Yeah, you're bald, Brockman.
Yeah. I love this.
I've been bald since I was 24, man.
24?
Like you can't come at me about the bald stuff.
20,
man.
Yeah, you've owned it. Were you when you had hair, was there a crisis moment or did you just go full bye-bye?
So freshman year, I still had some hair. Sophomore year basketball, a bunch of us like shaved our heads, just like, oh, we're going to buzz our heads. And then it never really came back. And then then senior year, it was like, don't let the bald guy shoot. And then college, I kind of had the comb front over. And then after that, I remember my last haircut. It was just like, what am I wasting $20 for? Like, it's over.
It really
don't
suits you.
Don't let the bald guy shoot.
It really suits you, though. I have been wanting to cut my hair for a long time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We talked about this a little bit off air before the show. I've been growing my hair or had long hair since I was a teenager. Since I was like, I don't know, 15, and I'm like, I'm sick of it. I'm over it. I've had enough of it. I love it for wrestling when it's wet and it looks cool great and stuff.
That's a good
but
look.
Like my hair, it stops looking cool 5 minutes into the match. It just poofs out. It turns into this, we call it rumble hair, when it just turns, it's full chaos jungle man hair. It's nuts. Then you start choking on it. It's a terrible situation. How long have you had yours?
My locks. So yeah. I locked my hair in June of 1999 is when I first got locked it up. Yeah. So.
And you never chopped it, just had it.
I mean, I would go back in the day. I'd go like half a year when in summertime I'd be bald, and then I'd grow an afro in winter, shave it for summer, afro in winter, and then I just let the afro grow until it was time to lock it. So
you had a full cycle.
Yeah,
you had a full cycle with his hair. Yeah. That's fantastic.
I was born with an afro, actually.
Well, we got a great show today. We got a really cool show. I'm excited. It's a fight. It's like a fight-friendly show today. We got Terrence Bud Crawford. He is undefeated. Mm-hmm. Got a big fight with Canelo Alvarez coming up soon, later this year. We're going to talk to him about that. And we got my man, DC Daniel Cormier, 2-division champion in the UFC. DC, you know, big Seth Rollins fan.
Oh.
Big Seth Rollins fan. He was actually there present for my very first cash in the Heist of the Century 10 years ago in 2015 in Santa Clara. So we're going to get his takes on the upcoming fight. Dustin Poirier's last fight in the UFC this Saturday. I believe that's this Saturday, right? Down in New Orleans.
For the BMF title.
For the BMF title against Max Holloway. Sure to be a banger. Can't wait to see that. I think Poirier said he's got Lil Wayne. Walking him out too.
I think so, yeah. Because his first walk to the ring in his first ever fight, he played Lil Wayne as his walkout music. So
that's cool, man.
Think kind of full circle.
That's a full circle situation right there. I love that. And like DC's he's a Louisiana boy, I think, too. So there's like some connection. I know he lives maybe out in NorCal now, but I think there's some connection there. So that anyway, we got a great show. We got a very fight friendly show, but we want to kick things off with some football, right? Some football chat. What do we got here? We got some lists.
We love lists.
We do love lists.
We love when other people help us with content. Shout out Jeremy Fowler, our good buddy. Earlier in the week, you know, he talks to GMs, executives from teams, anonymously, of course, so they can, you know, kind of speak freely, right? And he did his top 10 quarterbacks earlier in the week. We hit on that. That was kind of a surprise, right? Jalen Hurts, way too low.
Very.
Justin Herbert, maybe a little too high. Now he's got top 10 wide receivers.
Yeah.
The top 10 wide receiver list. Here we go. We got Ja'Marr Chase. Number one has overtaken Justin Jefferson. Of course,
my cousin.
These are anonymous NFL execs, coaches, and scouts. Justin Jefferson, your cousin TJ, number two. Tyreek Hill still up there.
Cheetah.
Wow. Number three.
Okay.
CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Sun God.
Malik Nabers.
Wow.
Joins the list at number seven after his spectacular rookie year with basically us throwing him the ball. Touché. Nico Collins was honorable mention last year. He's eight now. Mike Evans, first ballot Hall of Famer. He is nine. Garrett Wilson and his new bag contract. Number 10. Honorable mention, Terry McLaurin, who wants the bag. Puka, BTJ, DK Metcalf, T. Higgins,
and
Devontae Adams. Guys, thoughts
interesting.
On the list?
Well, I am very insulted that DJ Moore nowhere near this list.
Didn't even make honorable mention.
Not even an honorable mention.
We knew that one was going to come.
I'm insulted on DJ's behalf. Not just a look. DJ Moore is a stud.
He is
a stud. Not even an honorable mention. You can't even put him in there. You got Brian Thomas Jr. in there, but you don't got. And I like Brian Thomas.
I mean, he was top five at everything.
I'm
last
not
year.
Offended by that, okay. But I'm just saying you can't even give. You know, I think Garrett Wilson in the top 10 is a bit aggressive. Yeah. My opinion.
I think Puka Nacua not being in the top 10 is absolutely insane.
Absolutely so insulting.
But I don't know who you take out. That's the problem. There's a lot of good receivers. But Puka's got to be in the top 10.
Malik Nabers at seven.
Nabers at seven is high, yeah.
Nabers could have been honorable mention. You could have had Puka in the top six. Would you rather have Puka or Amon-Ra?
Ooh, that's a
good
question.
That's tough.
I know, that's choosing between your kids. I totally get it. But
also, Amon-Ra is top 10 worthy as well. So it's not
I'm not
like
saying he's not top 10,
out.
But I think I'd have Puka.
I don't know. Sun God is pretty dope.
I don't think I would have Tyreek Hill number three. I think that's the one that kind of stands out the most. I don't mind Ja'Marr Chase being number one. He was unbelievable last year. He could go for 2,000 this season.
Yeah,
I don't mind him being number one.
You'd say Cheetah's still top 10, though, right?
I would say top 10, yeah, but number three?
Yeah.
I mean, he's such a hassle to deal with. I mean, if I'm a coach, I understand that because, like, you have to know where he is on every single play.
Home run every time.
And not just like, we got to put our number one on him to guard him. Like you need two people. You need to put, shift a zone in his direction. Like he is a problem every second, every play. Now, mentally, is he there every play? I don't know. I don't know if he takes them off. I don't know if he takes some games off. I don't know where he's at in his life, to be honest with you. But from a game planning perspective, if he's on the field, he's a real issue. And I can't say that for a few of the guys on this list, the top two. I get it. I get that one. I understand that one.
I like CeeDee Lamb. I like AJ Brown. I like all those guys in the top 10. I think maybe you move Tyreek down. Nico Collins, man, that dude is a problem.
I think that would be the one, though. Either him or Garrett Wilson. If I'd had to pick one to swap Puka with, it would probably, and I'd like both of them, but Puka's got to be in.
Puka's got to be in. We feel good about Mike Evans?
Absolutely.
I don't think Puka's got to be in.
Really?
No,
I don't think he's got to be in. I don't think he's not a game-changing wide receiver for me.
Not yet.
I mean, he's a guy that you get the ball and he's going to get you. He's a Cooper Kupp. He's not that guy for me. He's a guy that you're going to get the ball. He's going to get a few extra yards. He might break one here and there, but like, he's not as dynamic as some of these other guys when it comes to like getting the ball down the field big time. You know, like that's just how I feel about it. I don't know. It might be a size thing. Might just be because he doesn't have the size.
Yeah.
He's shifty. Shifty is all get out. I couldn't tackle him. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Now with two good legs, couldn't tackle him. But he's legit. But I don't know that he strikes fear into my heart.
You like Terry McLaurin? Should he be in the top 10?
No. I don't think so. No. Maybe he could slide in at 10. I think Garrett Wilson, I think Garrett's too high. I think he's an honorable mention. I think Malik might be. I get Malik based on potential and like what you said. I mean, I don't even know who threw him the ball last season.
I honestly couldn't name a Giants quarterback.
So the fact that he put up numbers that he did last year, especially like he really came on second half of the season. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a good list at the top, but yeah, that six through 10 and the honorable mentions, you can move that around and give me some DJ Moore. Come on, man. Come on. DJ's a stud. He had like 100 catches with Justin Fields, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's no joke. So.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier in the week, but Seth, let's get your take on the quarterbacks, right?
Yeah, let me see the quarterbacks.
So Jeremy Fowler did the same list, polled anonymous execs, scouts, coaches, And here's the top 10 quarterbacks.
Okay.
Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar, Jaden Daniels, 5, Stafford, 6, Herbert, 7, Goff, Hurts, Baker round out the top 10 with honorable mentions to CJ Stroud and Jordan Love.
Okay. I'm not offended by this list. I'm not offended. There was controversy you said around Jalen Hurts.
Controversy around her. I mean, all of us, me, TJ, and Rich, we all kind of thought Jalen Hurts was too low. What more does the guy have to do? What more does he have to prove?
More too low? As in, you thought he should be like 5'6"? We're talking about here.
I think he should be above Jaden Daniels.
2 Super Bowls. He's outplayed Mahomes in both Super Bowls. I mean, and I, like I said, I'm a Dallas fan, so it pains me.
I think he should be 5
for him, but
yeah.
Wow.
Maybe ahead of Joe Burrow.
Whoa. Hey, now. Come on now. Let's not get crazy here.
I mean,
let's not get wild.
I need to see Joe Burrow finish a whole season.
Are you telling me if you put Joe Burrow on the Philadelphia Eagles, that team going to be worse?
No. I'm not saying that.
Come on now.
I'm not saying that.
Let's not. That's bonkers. All right. But the opposite stretch, if you put Jalen Hurts on the Bengals.
I think they're the same team.
No.
They're the same. No.
This is aggressive. Absolutely not.
Really?
The skill set. Look, I like Jalen Hurts, and I think he's a great quarterback.
What can Hurts do that Burrow can't?
Oh, Joe Burrow.
Or the opposite. No. What can Burrow do that Hurts can't?
Joe Burrow.
Does not have the running element to his game. Does not have
overrated.
The inside the red zone threat to score with his legs.
Overrated.
I think their throwing ability is pretty comparable.
No.
They both have talented wide receivers at their disposal. Mm. I think they're pretty equal. The only difference is one guy has won a Super Bowl.
This is a team sport, sir. This is not tennis. This is not golf.
MVP of the game.
Oh, that's come on now. Let's not get crazy. That could have gone any. Cooper DeJean should have been MVP of that game.
Come on.
Coop should have been Super Bowl MVP of that game. We know.
See, that's Iowa bias right there.
That is not Iowa bias.
Right there, Seth Rollins is Iowa bias.
Come on. Iowa bias. Coop DeJean, he sealed the deal for that. I mean, the defense won that game. Let's be serious here. It was not that the Eagles offense won that. The defense won that game. They dominated Kansas City from start to finish. The offensive line. I mean, let's come on.
Jalen Carter didn't throw a 60-yard bomb at the end of the.
Oh,
that's true.
That was a great throw. I'm not taking anything. I'm not taking anything away from Jalen Hurts here. I'm really not. I don't want it to come off like I'm like.
Wow, TJ, we were wondering
Hurts
who
hater.
The Hurts haters are. We found one.
You found one.
We literally found one.
Didn't think Seth Rollins would be a Hurts
didn't
hater.
Think he was going to be at the desk today.
This Eagles team is constructed to win as a team. They are constructed to win. And I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. I think he's a hard worker. I love his attitude. I think he's a great quarterback, but I would not put him above Joe Burrow. No chance. Zero chance. Zilch. Nada. None. Mm. I don't think the skill set is the same. I don't think the on-field IQ is the same. That's just how I feel about it. Could be wrong, but that's my opinion.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. when you change lanes, signal check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. So you know we love talking movies around here. You know we love talking comedy around here. We also love talking about classics around here. So, you know what I'm all about. That said, all of that said, you know how I must have felt when I was sitting in the movie theater like I was the other day watching the previews, and up came a preview for The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr. That preview had me at hello. I loved Police Squad back in the day. I loved The Naked Gun back in the day. And here comes The Naked Gun once again with, yes, Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr. Come on now. Son of the celebrated Police Squad Lieutenant Frank Drebin from the original movie. Paul Walter Hauser's in this movie. Also Pamela Anderson. Guess who also makes an appearance? WWE superstar Cody Rhodes, and the producer of the movie is Seth MacFarlane, the creator of The Family Guy. Come on now. This is going to be so much fun. I'm excited to see The Naked Gun in theaters on August 1st. So, what are you doing August 1st? Of course, you're going to a theater near you, and you're seeing The Naked Gun. I might even be there. You're 6'7", correct? Is that what
correct.
You are? Okay. And you're from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Born and raised.
So did you ever try football? Did anybody ever say throw you out there on the field and as a tight end or something like that? Or rush the passer?
Yes, being from Tuscaloosa, you know, it was, you know, we seen football day in and day out. So as a child, you want to do what you see. And that was my goal and plans, you know, until I was in college and I had a daughter that was on the way that was born with spina bifida. So, you know, it's just like the same, like, for me, it's like, sometimes when you have plans, but God has other plans for you. And those plans that I had set for myself, he's seen it in another light, a different way. And I found one of my purpose. You know, at that point in time, my life coming up, having a child that was born with a disorder, you know, it was very tough. It was difficult being that you're young yourself. And then you can only pray for a healthy child. And then when you don't get that, you gotta set responsibilities and do what you gotta do as a human being in general and as a father, you know. And I love being a father. You know, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be in boxing. I'll probably be, you know, in football or basketball or something like that. But having her, she changed my world completely. I'm forever grateful for her, because I wouldn't be in this position. I probably wouldn't even be here. Who knows where I'd be, you know, without my children, man. They're blessings. Many people say when you have kids and not playing that, you know, there's a mistake, but no child is a mistake, you know. And I just love it. Being a father is number one for me, you know. Even my two-year-olds understand boxing. All my kids will be at the fight.
Yeah.
And my two-year-olds say, I want to go see Daddy Boom Boom.
We are back here on the Seth Rollins show. Feels good, man.
Sounds good to say it.
Feels good. Here with my boys, Chris, Jason, TJ. Phone lines lighting up over here. We do have some callers waiting. We will get to them. It's going to be awesome. Very excited. Hopefully they've consolidated their questions into single questions today. But before we do that, we have a special guest on the show today. He has a huge fight coming up. I want to get the date right. September 13th of this year against Canelo Alvarez. Huge, huge fight. Yep. It is at Allegiant Stadium, the site of WrestleMania, this past year and next year coming up. It's going to be on Netflix, which is very cool. We've had a few sporting events streamed on Netflix now. They've all seemed to have gone very well. Got the got the stuff sorted as far as the streaming situation, so we don't have any lag or slowdown, hopefully. He is the one, the only, Terrence Bud Crawford. Terrence, what's up, man? Should I call you Terrence or Bud? What do you prefer?
Your preference. Whatever you want to call me.
I like Bud, man. Bud's, Bud's cool. I dig Bud. Where did Bud nickname come from? What is that?
My mom named me that when I was probably like 1 year old, you know, so it stuck with me.
Just stuck, man. Just stuck. And where you grew up in Omaha, is that right? Omaha, Nebraska?
Born and raised.
Are you still there? You still live there?
Still there.
Dude, my man, Midwestern boy. I love that. I'm from Iowa, Davenport, Iowa, right down I-80.
Oh, yeah. So you're about 2 hours away.
Oh, no. Des Moines, 2 hours. I'm on the other side of the state. Yeah.
Probably like four.
That's right. That's right. If we're going a little over the speed limit, we can get there in four. So, big fight coming up September 13th. Where are you at as far as your training is concerned and your preparation for this fight coming up? What's your day-to-day look like? How you feeling? What are you doing to get ready? Like, where are you at in your stages of preparation?
I'm good. You know, we in Colorado Springs right now. We already had our first workout of the day. You know, we got another one here this afternoon, and you know, it's all about working and recovering and eating. That's pretty much it, and resting.
How long are your fight camps? How long do they usually last for?
Some of them different, you know, mainly about 8 weeks.
Okay. All right. That's, and you guys you're in Colorado, so I assume the elevation, that's the thing, the altitude. You want to get that blood oxygenated for that cardio, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And is that something that you've done? Is that a new thing, or is that something that you've done for a lot of your fights?
I've been doing this since 2013, before I was even, you know, world champion. So we're used to it by now.
So 2013. So did you notice a specific difference, a very big difference when you train at altitude versus when you don't?
A little bit, but my main reason coming out here was to get away.
Okay.
Mine, and, you know, be away from everybody and everything back at home and just focus on boxing.
So for you, how much is the mental part of what you do and your mental preparation as important as your physical preparation? If it's a big mental switch for you to get out there and be on your own.
Oh, it's definitely, you know, something that goes hand in hand with being away from your family and your friends, and not being able to be comfortable in, you know, your natural habitat. You know, of course, we're comfortable now because we've been coming here for years. But at the same time, we know once we get to Colorado, it's all business.
So I got some questions for you. All right, I'm looking at this record you got here. You are undefeated. You are undefeated in a professional boxing ring. You have never lost. I got to know, first of all, as an amateur, were you undefeated as well? Have you ever lost a fight? When was the last time you lost a fight?
No, I lost as an amateur a few times. You know, I lost at, my last loss was at the Olympic trials in 2007.
So you haven't lost a fight in nearly 20 years. That is unbelievable. I got to know, what's that? What does that feel like? What does it feel like to be undefeated? Is it something you put thought into? Is it something that that even crosses your mind when you're, you know, signing up for another fight? Like when this fight was brokered, booked, you and Canelo, does it cross your mind? Ooh, my undefeated streak is on the line. Is it anything to you, or is it just a fight?
No, actually, you know, I never think about, you know, myself just being undefeated. I always, you know, look at it like it's 0-0, you know, going first round, you know, because, you know, I could be the favorite, but in my mind, I'm the underdog. So just like to this fight, you know, I'm the underdog. So, you know, I'm going in there, you know, as if I'm the underdog to go out there and prove a point.
No, he is not the underdog. You are not the underdog in this fight. There is no way. Do we have a betting line on this? Is there a bet?
Standby.
Yeah, let's get a betting line on this because I can't believe it. But your mindset, that's how you approach it. You just go in every time like you are the underdog. And that chip, does that chip on your shoulder kind of help you prepare? Does it give you a different type of focus when you get in the ring?
For sure. You know, it gave me that mental edge to keep pushing a little bit harder because, you know, I'm already, you know, down two rounds, you know, being that the popularity and, you know, the person that I'm going up against is in a higher weight class than me. So, you know, in my mind, I'm already down two rounds. I gotta make up for, you know, those two rounds with the work that I put in going into this fight.
That mindset is, I dig that. I like that. And another thing that's a little bit different about this fight for you, you are moving up weight classes for this. So you're going to be a little bit heavier for this. Is that good for you? Do you like that? Do you like being able to move up? Are you more comfortable at this weight as opposed to what you normally fight at?
Well, I haven't been at this weight in an actual fight before.
Yeah.
You know, training, I'm going to be just fine.
Did you like it? You get to eat a little bit more?
I'm got to, you know, starve myself and cut muscle and, you know, the thing or worry about weight. That's the bonus of it.
Do you think it'll have an impact on your cardiovascular performance at all? I know when I'm a little bit heavier, I move a little bit slower. And you're a proper supreme athlete, so you might not have that issue. But for me, I move a little slower and I'm a little heavier.
No, I think, you know, it benefit me come fight night.
Oh, I'm excited for this, man. I'm hyped about this. Another question, and this is just me. You know, all athletes, you seem like an extremely humble person for a dude who hasn't been beaten in a fight in 20 years. Maybe that comes with the territory because you're going to worry about nothing.
Yeah,
but,
right.
but are you the greatest fighter of all time in your eyes?
No.
No, you don't think that. You don't think I'm the best. Do you think you're the best right now?
I do think I'm the best right now, but the greatest of all time, that's Muhammad Ali's spot.
Did you have a list of guys who were like, these are the greatest fighters that have ever lived? Like, do you have people that you look to and think that about?
As fans, yeah. You know, you got Ali, you got Floyd Mayweather, you got Roy Jones Jr., you got Sugar Ray Robinson, you got Sugar Ray Leonard, you got Roberto Duran, you know, Marvin Hagler. There's so many fighters, you know, that you can put up there. You know, you just can't name one.
That's fair. Do you how long have you been, when did you get into boxing? How old were you? What sucked you in, man? Like, what was your thing? Why did you want to do this?
Well, I started boxing at 7 years old, not knowing that my dad and my uncles and my grandpa used to box. So, you know, the owner of the gym actually lived behind my grandma and stopped me one day and asked me, was I interested in boxing? And, you know, he came to my house and said, what's up to my mom then while I'm in the middle of telling her that some guy in the van was trying to talk to me. You know, they all was like, oh, yeah, your dad and them boxed for him, and the rest is history.
Did you take to it like just right away? Was it something you got in the gym and you're like, oh, man, I'm good at this, I love this? Or was it like?
It was just fun. So when I first went in there, you know, it was just something to do, you know, because that was the first sport that I ever tried. So going in there, you know, I liked it to fight, so I always wanted to spar. Let's go. Let's get in the ring and spar. Let's spar. Let me hit the speed bag. Let me punch the bag. You know, I used to get in trouble because I used to didn't follow the rules. But
I dig that.
The fighting aspect about it, you know, it was all just fun to me.
Okay. All right. So big fight. Is this fight with Canelo? Would you consider this the biggest fight of your career coming up?
Yeah, by far.
By far, you say?
Yes.
All right, so we're in a stadium here, Allegiant Stadium, again, September 13th, live on Netflix. The world will be watching. You were in Allegiant Stadium earlier this year for WrestleMania, I hear.
Yeah.
Would you, did you enjoy it? Did you have a good time? Which night did you go to? Night one, night two, both nights? What would you do?
I went for both nights, and, you know, it was great, you know, to actually be in the arena and actually get to see everything and just visualize myself fighting in that arena. So, you know, it was a good experience.
Are you a professional wrestling fan, or did you just go, you know, you are? Yeah.
For sure. You know, I've been watching WWF when I was little.
Oh, all right. Did you have any childhood favorites?
Undertaker.
Nice. We should get Dead Man to walk you out. You know what I mean? We should get Dead Man in September to walk you out. That'd be great, man. All right. Last question for you. Any predictions? I know sometimes boxers are famous for these. Any predictions for this fight? What are you feeling?
A victory.
Doesn't matter how you get it. You're just going to win.
However it comes.
By any means necessary.
That's a fact.
Ah, I love it, man. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. Again, I'm envious. I've been defeated many, many times in my life, in my career. Matter of fact, I think I've lost more than I've won, possibly. So
your undefeated streak, you don't even have one.
I do not have an undefeated streak.
Your last match you lost.
I lost. Yeah, I lost the last match to LA Knight. Wow, wow. But Terrence Crawford, undefeated September 13th, Allegiant Stadium, live on Netflix for the world to watch against Canelo Alvarez. Biggest fight of your career. We wish you the best of luck. Thank you so much for joining us. I'd love to be there, man. I'd love to come see it. I've never been to a big time boxing fight. It's right down the road in Vegas, man. So maybe we'll have to talk to Nick Khan and see if we can work something out.
For sure. Pull up. It's going to be a good night.
Oh, I believe it, baby. I believe it. Thank you very much for joining us, man. Enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy the third training session, and enjoy all the extra food you get to eat, my friend. thank you, and good luck in September. Wow, undefeated.
I know. Dude. I know. You see that number, 41-0. You see the O, and you're like, oh, dude. You want to put it on the line, a big fight like this?
Canelo, I love it.
Going up in weight. You asked what the odds are.
Yeah, what are we at?
He is an underdog. Canelo's minus 205.
Wow.
Bud is plus 160.
Canelo is the favorite in this fight.
2-1.
Is that shocking? I'm sort of shocked by that.
I thought it would be a little closer. I don't know what.
Is it the weight class situation?
I think it's Bud going up in weight.
Yeah, is this Canelo? So it's Canelo's normal weight class that he's fighting.
I mean, plus Canelo's gone up to heavyweight at a certain point. So he's used to fighting at a little heavier weight.
You telling me Canelo has fought at heavyweight? That's bonkers.
Or at least light heavyweight.
Light heavyweight?
Yeah. Light heavyweight, rather.
Or I'm cruiser, sorry.
But. So there might be like a power advantage there.
Right. And, if you know, TJ mistaken. And I were talking too. You know, Canelo's got a chin, man. He doesn't get put down.
This sounds like it's going to be a good fight.
I think it's going to be one of the best fights we've seen in years.
Okay.
You're talking like this is marquee, right?
This is the one.
This is our gen. This should be our generation's like Hagler Hearns or, you know, Hagler Leonard. Like you're talking about two of the very best, if not the best fighters in the world right now going.
Crawford's 37. So, you know, he's got an age disadvantage, I guess. Canelo's, you know, younger, but.
Is Canelo a little bit younger?
A little bit younger, 34 for Canelo.
Wow. But Canelo's got like a million fights, doesn't he?
He has so Canelo's many fights.
He's fought a lot. Canelo's actually, his birthday's tomorrow. He'll be 35 tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday.
And Canelo. He did light heavyweight. I said heavyweight, I'm sorry. Light heavyweight, he fought Sergey Kovalev, and he beat him at light heavyweight. Yeah. So
this is a big fight. Yeah, you know, kudos to, I think, my boy Nick Khan, WWE CEO, actually helped get this fight off the ground.
It's great because you don't see these types of super fights.
This is huge.
You know, come together. Usually there's a lot of issues, mostly financial, obviously, but these things don't really happen.
Not anymore.
The fact that these two guys and Bud willing to put that undefeated mark on the line, that's credit to him. Credit to these guys.
I love that mindset, though. Like, I'm scared for him.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I see the O, and I'm like, I'm scared for you, sir.
Don't do it. Just stay retired.
Just stay awesome and undefeated. Yeah. You know, don't do it. Don't take the chance. But I love that. I love the fact that he's just like, nah, man, I'm 0-0. Like, I'm behind. I'm an underdog. What are you talking about? Like, I'm reading this sheet. I'm looking at these stats. Like, I'm not the biggest boxing guy in the world. I'll put that out there right now. Mm-hmm. But I'm so impressed this laundry list of how incredible this dude is. Mm-hmm. Like, first male boxer in history to become undisputed champion in two weight classes during this four belt era. I don't know what the four belt era is.
Well, WBA, WBO, IBC.
But and moving up, like, putting your undefeated streak on the line, moving up two weight classes, fighting in a stadium on Netflix. Like, the pressure is on, and he's like cool as a cucumber.
He's just like,
yeah.
He's cool as a cucumber.
I get to eat whatever I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess, you know, it's good for me.
I mean, Canelo's got 67 official fights. He's 63-2-2.
Yeah, but his amateur career, he had, I think, 100 or so. Yeah. So, yeah. But I haven't looked forward to a boxing match this much since Canelo and Triple G the first time around. Like,
wow. I feel like I could sit down with that dude and just talk shop. Because I'm so curious about the mindset. Look, here, you know what? We did breaking news yesterday. I'll give you a little. This is not terribly breaking news.
Do we want the drop? Do you want to wait for the drop? The
breaking news drop? This isn't as cool. This isn't.
Breaking news.
Had to make up for being late on it yesterday.
Good job, Jay. Attaboy. Way to be
breaking
on.
Breaking news. All right, breaking news. I've never actually been in like a real fight.
What?
I've never been in like a fist fight. Yeah, I've never done it in my life. Never, ever, ever. Not
well,
once.
I mean, you say that, but you've also been in the ring with Brock Lesnar, and that seems like that would be a real fight.
I know, you know, but our thing's a little bit different than that thing. And I've never just like gotten to a scuffle in a bar. I've never, none of that. Never.
Well, because no one's stupid enough to pick a fight with you.
I've never thrown, well, now they will be because they know that I got nothing.
that bar fight thing, we have a good question on our pod about that. Before the show's over, I got a question for you.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal can help you find and finance the right vehicle with ease. And this summer, you're in the driver's seat with savings. You could get a $250 bonus when you buy your next car through Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar and finance with Navy Federal. With this tool, you can find the vehicle that's right for you as you search through inventory and compare models. And you can get an amazing rate when you finance with Navy Federal. Navy Federal strives to support all active duty veterans and their families to achieve their personal and financial goals. And this partnership with TrueCar is one of the many tools Navy Federal uses to help its members. Make your plan with Navy Federal and TrueCar today. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. To qualify for the $250 bonus, car purchase and financing must be completed by September 2nd, 2025. Terms and conditions apply and are available at NavyFederal.org/TrueCar. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Brad's day is off to a slow start. So he heads to AutoZone, where batteries are as low as $89.99. Sammy, a local AutoZoner, tests his battery for free. Looks like he just needs a charge. And Sammy does that for free, too. In no time at all, Brad is back on the road, ready to finish the day strong. Free battery testing and charging at every store. No hassles, just help.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
It was a journey. All the time we got our butts kicked and we're going to do a players-only meeting. And then just go get our butts kicked some more. You know, going through all of that. I'll tell people this. Troy, Emmett, me, we've never, never had a falling out.
Ever.
Never had an argument. Never had a fight. Because we knew what it was like building it from the bottom.
And that's the thing that made us as good as we were. Mm. We all knew what the mission was. And we all bought into the game plan of transforming an organization from 1-15 to a championship organization. And Jimmy was at the helm of it. I knew once I got there what the expectations were going to be. I just did not know how difficult it was going to be to get all of that together. But through that whole entire process, we grew together. We matured together. We played at a high level together, and we lost together. We went through a lot together. Mm-hmm. And so that team itself was built inside out, and it was built to go out and destroy whatever it was in front of. Now, we competed at the highest level amongst ourselves, which made us ready for anybody and anything that was out there. That's why we were different. So people look at us and they ask us, how about the current Cowboys? They ain't going through this.
Right.
They haven't had to deal with the 115. Like. They don't even know what it's like.
And even if you go through the 115, I don't mind some of Jimmy's old tricks. You know, when we lost in Washington, we should have won the game. We lost in Washington. That poor lady was trying to feed us on the airplane. Jimmy said, you take that damn food and put it away.
Put it away.
If they were hungry, they should have ate on the football field. And every away game, every away game, we get late in the game. I used to come to the line and say, are we going to eat or not? We going to eat or not? Because y'all know y'all lose this game. Ain't no ain't food getting no served food. On that thing. You know. So
play for your supper?
Right. What? You eat 5 hours before the game.
Yeah.
That's that you eat 5 hours before the game every day. So now you play the game. You exhaust. Everything's gone. You want some food. You want some food. And if you didn't win that game, ain't no food.
Want no party in either.
Well, nothing. You got to ride the plane like
that. The plane was quiet. The whole
nobody
time.
Nobody said a word.
I'd never forget the one time we did lose to Washington. But we was coming back, we may have been coming back from D.C., and there was a little noise on the plane.
Boy, Jimmy went off.
He came back there.
Went off. I felt bad.
He had just got done watching the live feed. Dude. He came back there, man, and Rob...
everybody. Yeah. Everybody heads on the block.
Yeah. I'm not going to call out no name,
right. But it was everybody. Everybody heads on the block. Shut up and shut out.
But I'm going to cut you. You say another word, I'm going to cut you before the plane lands.
He said that.
We sit back there like this.
Dude.
Damn.
So you get the fourth quarter, you're like, Joker, what y'all gonna do now?
We talking like
you can either whoop these jokers or we gonna deal with that joker. Let's go. And it was always easy, just whoop their ass. If you're on that plane, exactly, to get us some to eat.
Exactly.
You know what
it's
I'm
one
saying?
Of those things where you better go outside and whoop somebody behind and then come back to the house and say, Mama, we did what we needed to
can
do.
We get some to eat?
Can we get something to eat now?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Back here on the Seth Rollins Show.
Yeah.
What's going on with Rasheed Rice?
Breaking news that's kind of just coming over. Adam Schefter reporting that the Chiefs wide receiver, Rasheed Rice, sentenced to 30 days of jail time and 5 years probation for his role in the multi-car crash last year. If you remember on the Dallas Highway, he was going, 120? And then left the scene of the crime. The Dallas judge told Rice that he can serve the jail time at any point during the five-year probationary period. So it remains to be seen when he will serve that 30 days of jail time. But now that this is concluded legally, got to wait for the NFL to come down. Got to expect he's going to get a multi-game suspension. Of course, he's recovering from a torn ACL suffered early last year.
Wow. What, 30 days at any point during
the five-year probationary period?
Can he just like do like a day here and a day
there?
That's
what I was thinking, right? Can I break this up, Judge?
Yeah. How does this work?
I ain't trying to spend 30 seconds in jail, let alone 30 days, man.
Like, love just that thought. Got to assume it's 30 consecutive days.
Consecutive, yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay.
But I admire you. Got to ask, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly crossed my mind.
Right? That's weird. Treat it like the Army Reserves. Maybe you get to just do like 2 weekends a month. And then, you know, work the time.
No, like the National Guard?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I didn't know. I had no idea. I've never heard a sentence like come down that way. So
me neither.
That was my first question is how do we break this down? But
unclear when he was going to come back, if he'd be ready for week one. But now you got to expect when he is back, suspension.
There's got to be a suspension, right?
Yeah, for sure. It seems like he's going to be out half the year maybe. So big blow to that Chiefs offense.
Yeah. You think half the year, you say?
Well, I'm thinking maybe he wasn't going to be ready for week one anyway, coming back.
When did he tear the ACL?
Week four.
Okay. So that would have been October, roughly?
Yeah.
Roughly October. He could. I mean, he might have been ready by week one, I would say. Depending on how bad the rest of the knee looked.
Yeah, but
and the rehab.
He's
going to
be out a
like
good
that.
Amount of time. I got a 4 games minimum, right? Suspension, something like that.
You would assume.
I would, yeah. Maybe, probably two. Four. Two I don't to know. Four,
two
right?
To four. Two to four, maybe. But
We'll see. But either way, that is a big blow to the Chiefs offense.
Big blow.
So we'll see how that goes. He's their I mean, he's a weapon.
I mean,
he's a huge weapon.
Beast.
Also depends on what kind of prison they're going to send him to. Like, is he going to country club? Is he going to jail? Is he going to prison? There are a lot of... Now I'm wondering, like, how's he going to serve this time? Like, you know, I'm sure he's not going to be in a maximum.
No, he's not in like a super max. No, you know, no.
They giving him the country club.
He's
going to
do it probably after the season ends. Just get it over with and be done.
Yeah, I imagine it'll be sometime this summer or whatever.
Or do you wait and wait and wait and hope it gets...
Put it off?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, defer. I don't know.
I don't know.
Hope that there's a clerical error and they forget.
I don't know. That's tricky. Can we squeeze a caller in before we...
Yeah, let's squeeze.
Let's squeeze a caller. Pick a caller. Any caller.
Pick a caller. Let's go to Terzo. Line two.
This is our guy.
What's up, buddy? Terzo.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
G.
Hey, Seth, man. It is a pleasure to be able to talk to you, my man. I'm a big fan. Love what you do with the WWE, man. You just crush it and you rock it, my man.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Terzo, how are you leading? Hey, not telling Seth where you're from right off the bat.
Well, I'm from Colorado, TJ, but I do live in Des Moines. I've made my life here in Iowa.
Good man. Seth. Good man.
Terzo, we got a minute.
So real quick, Rashid Rice, he's going to be doing that in county jail. It's not going to be any fancy jail or anything like that.
Terzo's
a
lawyer,
more likely not going to break it up.
Got it.
But, Seth, real quick question for you, and then I got one thing about week 16. The first question for you is, when did you actually think that you made it when you got to the WWE?
I don't know that I've made it yet. You know, the big one, probably WrestleMania, first WrestleMania. First time you step out in front of all those people. We were in MetLife Stadium, 2013, January, March. It was incredible. Incredible staring across the ring from Randy Orton and Sheamus and Big Show. I mean, you're there. You're in WrestleMania. You're on the marquee. We opened the show that year, too. So that was the one for me. I think I was like, I'm a WWE wrestler now.
Wow.
That's freaking awesome. So week 16, your Bears come to play my Niners, and I'm going to have to tell you, you're going to be looking at the end there at the fourth quarter, and you're going to be smelling.
Terzo, don't even start with me. Bear up, bear down. You don't stand a chance.
We're coming for you, bud. We're coming for you. Hey, if you're ever in Des Moines, look for a bar called Carl's. We'd love to have you down there.
Will do. Thanks, Terzo.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
See you, buddy.
Apparently, we're big in Carl's. We're always on at the bar, so they know us down in there.
All right. Okay. I like that. I like that. I've never been to Carl's. I don't know where that's at. I hope that's in a good part of town.
I think it probably is.
Des Moines got it's tricky. Des Moines has, some parts, real nice, real nice. Like some of those Midwestern cities like the Des Moines and Omaha, Oklahoma City, Tulsa, really on the come up. Yep. Still some parts of it not so great, so.
And avoid those bar fights.
Yeah.
No bar fights. Let's go. Let's go. Line four, Jay Felly, Ross in New Jersey. What's up, Ross?
Ross.
Hey, what's up, man? Good talking to you. Big fan of yours.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. What you got?
So, real quick question. I know you got other callers. 2014 when you came up with the Shield and all that, right? That was kind of like the heyday when I became a fan of it too. And if I had to point to like one pay per view, which I don't know if you remember it as much as I do, 2014 Extreme Rules, you had the match with Evolution, and that was like that. And Daniel Bryan came later that night was like the, whoa, this bleep is awesome to me. I was like 8, 9 years old at the time. And now looking back 10 years later, all of you have accomplished, you brought up the Money in the Bank cash in 2015. I remember that like it was yesterday. You look now at the faction you got with Braun and Bronson Reed. How would you kind of compare it to the Shield when you first came up with Roman and Dean? And it was like when you built up this faction, now that you got with those two, Paul Heyman and them, was there like any kind of resemblance of the Shield in mind, like all these years later? And I know you kind of have the callbacks like at the last two Manias, which by the way, I know Cena and Rock came out and Undertaker as well, but your callback to the betrayal, which like on a random 2014 Raw after Payback, I think it was, which is crazy that it kind of landscaped the modern day company. How do you kind of compare your faction now with Bronson and Breaker to the Shield that you came up with all those years ago? Appreciate the time, man.
Yeah, brother.
Thanks, Ross.
Thank you. I'm a historian there. He's got it all.
love it.
You know, look, the Shield was special. It was a very unique thing. But the one thing, the common thing that sort of brought us all together was the work ethic. We all had the same goal in mind. We all wanted to put in the same amount of of effort to get to that goal, which was to change the face of the industry. We wanted to kind of rewrite the whole thing, make the generation ours. And the thing that I see in Braun and Bronson is that they feel the same way, right? They want to be the next big thing, and I want that for them. And so here we are. Round two, baby. Let's go. We're coming back with more from the Seth Rollins Show.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
Why? Because you're not playing me.
With rapid-fire takes.
And a lot to get to, and I'm not sure you're going to like all of it. Honestly, I don't even care if you like all of it or not. I have a job to do.
Scorching debates.
On any given week, you have lots to beef about. Take advantage of it. Get up in here.
He's the spitfire of sports smack.
She's not my fault. We will get to all of that.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
Get up in here, and we'll beef later on. What's your beef?
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
You've been warned.